When I was a kid living at home, I was about as rebellious as you could get. But there's a context to this. My father was a sergeant major in the Royal Canadian Artillery, stationed in Italy. And during the war, he suffered a grievous injury, which changed him, changed his personality. And as I've shared with you before, the man who came back was not the man who left. But he ran his home as he ran his unit. He was a sergeant major in the artillery. He was a sergeant major in his house. My mother was sickly. She had MS, so she wasn't very strong. She tried to be a buffer between my father and myself, but that didn't work. And so my father and I engaged in many a battle, verbal and physical. I would test the limits of his authority constantly, and he would push back constantly. It finally came to the point when he and I had a fist fight, and he knocked me unconscious with one blow. That was the last time I saw my mother, for she died shortly thereafter, and my father and I never reconciled. So the question that I have been struggling with is a question that I'm going to address today. How do we honor our fathers and mothers? It wasn't until I became a parent myself and went through the rebellious period of my children that I realized what my mother and father went through as they were dealing with me. So I ask you to imagine what life would be like today if we did not have the guiding of Jehovah through the Aseret HaDibarot, the Ten Commandments. They permeate every aspect of our lives. Most ethical codes around the world are based on these 10 life instructions. Criminal and common law codes have them as their foundation. Even the codes of human rights adopted by most countries, even those who regularly violate them, are based on the single command to love your neighbor as yourself. To date, in our examination of Jehovah's life instructions, we have covered, if only briefly, the first four of these instructions. We have learned Jehovah is our only Elohim, and we should have no other God but him. We have been commanded not to take the name of Jehovah lightly, being warned we are accountable for every word which comes from our mouths. Life instruction 4, the focus of last Shabbat's message, guides us to remember and keep Shabbat as the holy day of Jehovah. Today, let's approach an understanding of the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land which Adonai, your God, is giving you. For me, it is important to note this fifth command marks the end of the instructions governing our vertical relationship with Jehovah. And here is where the mystery begins. For this is not part of the next five commands, those which guide us in our horizontal relationship with others, but is with Jehovah himself. So let's unpack the deeper meanings of this fifth life instruction to us. Abba Father, I pray that you soften our hearts and open our minds so that we may hear the message you have for us today. I pray that not only may we hear this message, but that this message will go deep into our hearts so that it will become part of our life behavior. B'Shem Yeshua Moshechenu, in the name of our beloved Messiah. Amen. There are three parts to this life instruction. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long and in the land Jehovah, your God, is giving you. We will examine each of these portions separately and then bring them together at the end of the message. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? To grow towards a clearer understanding, we need to look at both the Greek and the Hebrew meanings of the word honor. The Greek for honor, doxa, carries with it an understanding of honor, renown, glory, and especially divine quality, the unspoken manifestation of God, splendor. In Hebrew, the word for honor is kavod, meaning heavy, weighty, or burdensome. To me, this definition is most enlightening, for it tells me honoring my father and mother requires effort. It should not be an easy thing, easily discarded or easily forgotten, but should be a burden physically, emotionally, and spiritually within my life. Are you gaining some insight as to why this instruction falls within the grouping of our relationship with Jehovah? There is an assumption here. Parents have been appointed and anointed the caregivers and the stewards of one of Jehovah's most precious gifts to us, life. And as we know, there is nothing more precious to Jehovah than life, as we learn from Scripture. Let's hear from Rav Shaul first, as he teaches us in Romans 12. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in view of Jehovah's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Elohim. If we are to offer him ourselves as living sacrifices, we must keep our bodies pure, free from any form of pollutant and addictive substance. Here is where parents come in, since they set the environment for us for the rest of our lives. If they teach us by example to keep our bodies pure, then the chances are there when we reach the age of self-determination, we will have established a pattern of making choices which will help us keep our bodies pure for Him. However, if by their example and modeling, parents create an environment filled with impure substances and a danger of making the body impure, this sets the stage for us as adult decision makers to also engage in impure decision making. But there is more to this than just keeping our bodies pure for Him. However, that is the subject of another message. In Deuteronomy 5, we read of Moshe's reiteration of this teaching to honor your father and mother.
Truth of your kingdom reign in Lord, I worship.
There are two promises here attached to Jehovah's life instruction. Honor your father and mother as Adonai your God ordered you to do, so that you will live long and have things go well with you in the land Adonai your God is giving you. The first promise, so that you will live long. Is it possible Jehovah has attached longevity to this command? This is what it appears to be. Does this mean our days will be cut short if we do not honor elders, our parents, our authorities? We'll come to that discussion shortly. The second promise with this command, things will go well with you in the land Adonai your God is giving you. Again, there appears to be a conditional relationship between honoring our fathers and our mothers and how our lives will unfold. As I shared with you, I will be the first to admit it isn't easy to honor our fathers and our mothers. I know that I am responsible for making my own choices. But there are times I wonder how my life might have turned out had my relationship with my father been healthier and more loving. I don't blame him. I certainly wasn't the easiest of teenage boys to live with, that I can tell you. So what are we to do when we perceive our fathers and mothers are not the perfect role models God wants them to be? Many sources in both the Tanakh and the Apostolic Scriptures lead us in the direction of honoring our parents, irrespective of their behavior towards us. For example, in Ezekiel 18, we read, "The person who sins is the one who will die. A son is not to bear his father's guilt with him, nor is the father to bear his son's guilt with him. But the righteousness of the righteous will be his own, and the wickedness of the wicked will be his own." Jehovah's message to us is very clear. If our parents act in unrighteous ways, they will bear their own guilt and receive their due consequences. However, if we do not honor them, as they have been anointed by Jehovah to care for us, then we incur our own guilt and will be subject to his discipline. In a very real sense, dishonoring our parents is the same as injuring Jehovah's reputation, since their anointing as parents comes from him. Adonai Yeshua was very clear about the imperative to honor our parents. In Mark 7, he makes his views known explicitly. Honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. True, he was speaking within the context of the practice of some of the Pharisees of committing their resources required to be devoted to aging parents to the temple as korban, or sacred offering. However, the principle holds. those who dishonor their parents will experience Jehovah's wrath. Now, let's focus on a more troubling issue. How do we respond when our parents require us to do something illegal or immoral? The passage from Ezekiel clearly tells us decisions made by adult children are theirs to bear. No one can absolve themselves of responsibility by claiming they were ordered to do something unlawful or evil. This biblical principle was the foundation of the Nuremberg trials following World War II, during which Nazi war criminals used the defense they were only following orders when they killed innocent non-combatants. Scripture speaks to this issue directly as we read in Acts 4. As you may recall, Kepha and Yochanan, two of Adonai Yeshua's Talmudim, were preaching at the temple in Jerusalem. When they were arrested by the temple guards and taken to the Sanhedrin for judgment, they were asked by the Kohen Gadol, the high priest Anan, "By what power or in what name did you do this?" Their response was very clear. "You must judge whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God. As for us, we can't help talking about what we have actually seen and heard." From this passage, we may derive the principle: when there is a dispute between the word of Jehovah and the law of man, the word always wins out. I personally find it interesting, in the writings of Rambam, the great French rabbi of the Middle Ages, the judgments of the rabbis were of greater value than the judgments of Jehovah's prophets who were speaking his word. And thus today, whenever my people have a question, they consult their rabbis, who consult the Talmud, rather than consulting Torah and the prophets. However, the principle of relying on Jehovah's commands and judgments still stands. This doesn't mean parents who act illegally and or immorally lose their authority as parents. On the contrary, they still have the authority given to them by Jehovah as parents. Only when they command children to do what is against Jehovah's word are they to be disobeyed. Where in Scripture is this principle supported? Journey with me, please, to Matthew 23, wherein Adonai Yeshua teaches, "The Torah teachers and the Prushim," he said, "sit in the seat of Moshe. So whatever they tell you, take care to do it." However, he continues, "But don't do what they do, because they talk but don't act." In our parlance today, they didn't walk their talk. Honoring your father and your mother may be extended to all authority, since civil authority has been appointed by Jehovah and ruled by virtue of his divine word. As we have seen, even in our modern times, there are corrupt, even evil authority figures around the world, men and women whose sole purpose is to garner as much wealth, attention, and prestige from the world of power as they are able. But they too have been anointed by Jehovah to lead and rule and are there for specific purposes. Take, for example, the ruler of the Assyrian Empire during the time of the conquest of Israel. Tiglath-Pileser III, also known as Pul, was reported to be a cruel and godless man. He ruled his conquered empire with a stainless steel fist. Why would Jehovah use this evil man as part of his divine plan? This is not a question we may answer, but use him, Jehovah did. He was given the authority to capture the northern tribes of Israel and drag all the upper classes to Assyria, replacing them with many of his people. This was Israel's conquest for disobeying Jehovah's command to love only him and worship only him. And so Jehovah used an evil man to complete this portion of his plan for Israel, clearly indicating to us how important his life instruction of honoring our fathers and our mothers is to us. Rav Shaul teaches the importance of this command as we read in Romans 13. Everyone is to obey the governing authorities, for there is no authority that is not from God. And the existing authorities have been placed where they are by God. And the consequences are clear if we don't. Whoever resists the authorities is resisting what God has instituted. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So I ask the question, what about Vladimir Putin? What about the ruler of Iran? Why are they here? What is their role? How will they fit into Jehovah's plans? I urge you to watch. Once again, we've been given the choice to follow or reject Jehovah. And having been given this choice, we also have been given the obligation of receiving the consequences of our decisions, regardless of how we feel about these consequences and about their fairness. In Hebrews 13, we also read, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your lives as people who will have to render an account." Once more, we have the command from Jehovah's lips to our ears and our hearts. The command to obey those in authority over us. This biblical command runs counter to the current theories of leadership today, which claim the power in today's leadership comes from those who are being led and flows to those who are leading. This is an illusion. It is wrong, and it is harmful. The power to lead comes from Jehovah himself. His leaders, whether in the civil government or in the pulpit, have been anointed by the ruler of the universe, and he alone, has the right to appoint and to remove. Beloved, the life instruction to honor your father and your mother has deeper and broader implications than our immediate families. This instruction subsumes all the levels of leadership and authority existing in our world today. We have been commanded to obey and follow, given our leaders and parents instruct us to act within Jehovah's moral and legal parameters. Once we move outside these, we have no defense, and we will be held accountable for our actions. It is my prayer that we will, all of us, function within the will of Jehovah and be strong when we are commanded to act outside his will for us. I pray we all will have that strength to say no when this happens. I pray this in Adonai Yeshua's beloved name. Amen.
God's children now, and what we will be is not yet appear. We know that when he appears, shall be